everybody. Welcome to Thursday, not Wednesday. It's Thursday, Snipes and Stripes right here on NoFilter.net. Very exciting show for me, for Tim, for everybody, because I am now, thank goodness, the Hall of Fame weekend is behind me. Tim Peel, it's great to see you. You and I are both recouping from an amazing weekend in Toronto. My gratefulness, my just how much gratitude I have right now. I'm so humble that you were there and all my friends were there to share a great weekend with me. It was amazing. Welcome to another episode of Snipes and Stripes with my buddy Tim Peel. What's up, buddy?
Hey, bud. Yeah, no, you know what? We can all say Hall of Famer. It's not inductee. It's not, we're looking forward to it. You're a Hall of Famer. Before we get into that, I do want to thank our sponsors, but it was a phenomenal weekend. And let's talk about that in a second. But first, let's talk about Whiskey in the Wild, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, Whiskey in the Wild, the best chocolate orange whiskey you'll ever have, and it is mine. So please support. I bet you there'd be the greatest drinking experience you'll ever have. Go to whiskeyinthewild.com. Grab your bottle today. It is the holidays. As you see, there's a flask attached to everyone. It's the best gift you can give for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. Whiskeyinthewild.com. Get your bottle today.
Protected neck guards, the number one neck guard in the world right now, approved by the National Hockey League and also by Canada Hockey. And also to Bet Online. Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to in-game betting, live betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch the games as they happen. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, NBA, NHL, to entertainment and political props, head to BetOnline today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here.
So we have an exciting show today. A very, very exciting guest, a controversial guest, I believe a very talented guest, and one that is playing in Russia, and Tony D'Angelo, who we've seen Mr. Peel and Mr. D'Angelo have some kind, or maybe not so much kind words for each other over the social media, which is going to create a really fun conversation here today. We're very, very thankful for Tony to be coming on with us, coming from Russia. So obviously the time change is immense. I appreciate him being here. I know Tim really appreciates him being here. So we will get to that in 1 second. And I know, Tony, you're probably out there. We'll be right to you. But we got to let's just cap off the weekend real quick, Tim. It was so cool seeing all the Hall of Famers there, whether it was Teemu Selanne, Chris Chelios, Ed Belfour, Pierre Turgeon, Marty St. Louis was there. Yeah, it was an amazing array of hockey history that we got to really kind of appreciate, you know, why we were there.
Yeah, it was a tremendous weekend, you know. Ty Domi was there at the same restaurant that you had your dinner. Like the players you just mentioned, and then, you know, our good friend Mike Commodore, Getzlaff, all these guys, Pekka Rinne was there.
My boy Tony Amonte was there.
Tony Amonte. I didn't really know Tony, got to know him. Phenomenal person. I can see why you guys are so tight. It was just JR. I had never been to the Hall of Fame, and I don't think you'd ever been to the Hall of Fame party before. It is top notch. They treat you with it's unbelievable, and we were just so entertained and just had so much fun all weekend. And I know you just had a blast. You were going from event to event and signing this and doing this, and you handled it with class.
I appreciate it.
And the people loved you in Toronto. They loved
you. You know, I'm very fortunate, really. I'm fortunate for so many different reasons. And, you know, again, thank you for everybody. And thank you for everybody for their messages on social media, your texts, and everything. But let's not keep Tony waiting. Let's bring him on, because I've been excited about this. And by the way, Tim, thanks for getting him on, and thanks for Tony for doing this. But let's might take a second for him to jump on. But I think this is very important, because everybody has opinions about people. And for me, I've had many opinions about me, and some that I think were unjust, some that were unfair, and some that I wish that I had the opportunity to battle back. And there's my guy right there, Tony D. What's up,
What's
buddy?
What's happened? Congratulations. Congrats on the Hall of Fame.
Thank you, my buddy. I really appreciate it. So first, let me say a couple things. Number one, you and I have had conversations on text message, and I have sent out my olive branch to help you and tell you. And, you know, I've gone through a lot of the same things you're going through. So for you to be on here with us today is, it's awesome for me, and it's awesome for Tim, and I really appreciate it. It takes a man to step on and say something and stand behind what you say, stand behind who you are and what you represent. And I feel the same way, because I've been misjudged, unfairly ridiculed, and the media has gone after me, and a network has gone after me unfairly. So, and I know Tim has his reasons and his beliefs, and these are the best ways to talk and to get things out. And I just couldn't thank you enough. Coming from Russia, we'll talk about you being over there, what it's like over there. But first of all, I will, I'm a big fan of yours. I've told Tim that I'm a supporter of yours. Do I agree with everything that you do? No. But then again, you probably don't agree with everything I do. And this is what, you're real. And I love the fact that you're real. And I'll let you, Tim, are going to go at it. I'll pop in for a little bit and give you a bite. But I just think this is really important, because you're a proud guy. You're a proud, hockey player. You're a proud person. You come from a very strong family. And this is healthy. This is really good. And I think it's going to make some great television, which I'm going to enjoy watching. So
that's the most important part. Good television is what we're looking for.
To echo JR's comments, Tony, I do appreciate you coming on. You and I, we went at it on Twitter last year, and I'm not going to apologize, because I think we have our, we always want to stick to our beliefs of who we are, and not backtrack on things. I'm going to give you a couple. My perception of you is, and it's not a perception, some of it is from afar, but my perception of you is actually when I shared the ice with you. And my perception was that you didn't respect the officials, you didn't respect your opponents, a bit of a narcissist, a little arrogant, egotistical.
Hey, I was a narcissist too, Tim, just so you know, buddy. Fuck.
I your tweet about the Trump thing, I don't agree with, because, and I want you to give it back to me, but half our, at least most of our executives, players in this league, GMs, I would like to think, have to think, are Trump fans. Maybe they're not as vocal as you. But one thing that I gave it to you on Twitter, but I also said on Twitter that the guy is a good enough player, should be playing in the NHL. How come in 2020 you had 53 points, 2022 you had 51 points in 64 games, 42 points the following year in 70 games? How is Tony DeAngelo not playing in the National Hockey League? I want to hear it from you, because I don't understand it, except for the reasons that I just gave.
Yeah, well, some of the reasons you gave are true. Officials I was never good with. And I've heard that from every – I mean, it's something I know. I don't need to hear it from anybody. You know, the coaches told me over the years. I kind of treated some officials like shit. Did I mean anything by it personally? No. I don't know you guys from a can of paint. Like, it means, you know, nothing. I'm just in the game. Something happens, I'm coming at you right away. It's just the way I am. And that's the main reason I'm not in the league anymore, not the official part, just the way that I sometimes, you know, not sometimes, a lot of times, handle my emotions over the years. The Trump part – just a circle on a quick. I think that it got a little misconstrued. I said it's a part of the reason, and the part of the reason it's a fact. I mean, we know that from teams that have spoken to us. That I know 90% of the league is probably Trump fans or on the conservative side. Maybe not a Trump fan per se, but on the conservative side of things, especially socially and economically. But I was very public about it. I don't think you could find another guy in the NHL that was as public about it as I was, especially in the time when there was COVID and all the other nonsense that was going on, which I, you know, and I was playing in New York City at the time too. So that kind of doubles it up a little bit. But if I could do one thing in life, I would go back and start my career over again from the time I was in junior and handle myself the way I handled myself last year in Carolina. Last year was the year I probably should have snapped the most. And I said, you know what, I'm 28 years old. I put myself in a dog shit spot. I've been inconsistent the last year and a half as far as my play, and it is what it is. Was I happy about sitting on the bench all year last year? No, but I had a lot of respect for Rod Brind'Amour, and we argued a few times. You know, we had it out one time, and which doesn't really happen with him. But it was like, you know, we were able to talk, and I was like, at the end of the day, I put myself in this spot. I didn't start the season off well enough. You know, he gave me a chance to play to start the season. I didn't play well enough. By the time I got back in playing well enough, he had already had his roster of what he wanted to do, you know, with the team and stuff. And there was no interest out there. You know, you want to get traded, you want to go somewhere and play. I was willing to terminate my contract and go play somewhere for free for all I cared. I just wanted to play. And I started to see the writing on the wall a little bit of what was going to come. And I started making some calls to my agent. So I said, listen, I'm not seeing any, you know, chance to get a contract this summer. I said, it's not looking too good for me. I get into the playoffs. I thought I played very well in the playoffs. You know, on some of the sideshow shit in the playoffs, I know you guys talked about it. That's just me trying to get, I want Rempe to take a stupid penalty. I want the rookie Will Cully to try to take a run at me, see if we can get a power play, right? So that stuff really means nothing. I could care less. It's just, do I look like an idiot doing it? Probably. Do I really care? No. It's part of the game, and it's part of, you know, if Brad Marchand does it, people think it's the greatest thing in the world. Tony D'Angelo does it. Oh, he's an idiot. But that part doesn't bother me. But the Trump stuff, like I said, to push that aside, there's a lot of things I did that I should have handled way differently. The thing that I think the most, to this is not even picking up for myself, I think playing for a guy like Brind'Amour, our personalities are totally opposite. Competitors, very similar. We're both big time competitors. The way we handled our competitiveness, totally different. But it was a good mix for me to have a guy like him, because he kind of was like, all right, I understand this guy. Played for John Tortorella, played for David Quinn. Similar personalities to me. Short fuses. Mm-hmm. And when two short fuses go with each other, it didn't always work out. You know, in Philadelphia, I was playing pretty good for a while, but we were losing games. Picture me when we're losing games, picture Torts when we're losing games, and then you start to collide a little bit.
When you're in the off season, Tony, and I think you just eloquently and I think graciously said that you weren't very good in the beginning of your time in Carolina. I totally understand the situation that you're in when you're not getting any phone calls. I got a phone call from a friend, and he made sure that he knew there were parameters that I had to stick by in order to play. One of those was playing for the minimum. You're not a minimum type of player. You're better than a minimum player. You're a $3 or $4 or $5 million player. You should be in the league. Did you ever extend out that option to a team to say, listen, I'll play for the minimum and I'll come and do that? And there has to be something in there that you're not telling us, or something that they think that is in there, that no team would come after you for the minimum. When we've seen guys like Evander Kane, who we have seen do amazingly bad things, and he's gotten a chance. There's something different in there. And
well, you got to remember, I pick up for the teams a little bit here too. I'm not a delusional person. I kind of did get another chance when I left New York, in a sense, as far as a league sense goes, right? And then I built myself back up, back into a $5 million player in Philadelphia. So all the other garbage was behind me. So I'm not going to – there's no excuse going forward from what happened in Philadelphia. I think what happened in Philadelphia was a little bit – I still don't totally understand it. If you take back there, I had a conversation with Torts. The end of the day, Torts, in his opinion, was, because I said, I'll come back. I don't care what it takes. I said, my whole life was wanting to be a Flyer. That was all that mattered as far as playing. And you were one of my favorite players. You played the Flyers. You were what a Flyer was, in my opinion. And that's why growing up, JR was one of my favorite players. But and then Mike Richards after that, that's what a Flyer was in my eyes. But losing was garbage. Losing in my hometown was garbage. The crowd in Philadelphia wasn't the same as it was when I was a kid. Half the rink full. I didn't play as well as I should have. It was a frustrating year. Me and Torts go back and forth. It wasn't a match made in heaven, that's for sure. But that's because of me. There was an interesting, not to go too far off topic here to ramble, but when I'm going, and I think anybody that's played with me knows, I could get going. I could start yelling. I could slam a door. I could start bitching about stuff. It's just what I've done. Do I like to do it after the game? I'm like, fuck, I should have just shut up. But it's just how I am sometimes. And
is that uncontrollable?
Sometimes it's uncontrollable. Yeah. The biggest thing for me in Philly was the power play. I'd get very frustrated with the power play because that was our only way to stay in games, to have a good power play. And we didn't just have a bad one. We had the worst one in the league, I believe. And I would get extremely frustrated with that. And that was when I'd start barking a little bit and stuff. And Torts didn't like that. Deservedly so. He didn't need to like it. But I think he took that as me being, you know, coming at teammates more than the teammates took it. That's just who I am. I think the players understood it. I don't think he did. He took it as he was coming back to protect them and saying, you know what, fuck him, basically. And I understood it. And after the season, when I talked to Torts, I was like, look, I do whatever it takes to come back. You're the boss. You know, hopefully we could patch it up. And he ultimately said we weren't going to be good enough for me to come back. I couldn't be on a team that was going to struggle that bad. Basically, you know, saying you get too frustrated when it's going in this direction. It's not going to be beneficial for us. I disagreed. But he was the boss. There was nothing I could do. Now I know for a fact that every player went into Danny Briere's office and said they want me back. You know, and he knew that as well. But he didn't think it could work between us. So to be, like I was saying, to wrap it all around, I was past all the garbage of not getting a team. I was making $5 million for 2 years with Philadelphia. And if I handled things properly, I would have probably been back for the second year. Maybe I would have got traded that year, rebuilding, whatever the case is. So that part was that's on me. That has nothing to do with anybody. And then I go back to Carolina. I had another option. I can take you through the whole thing, but it was a big mistake going back because they had their D kind of set. And then they signed Orlov. I thought they were trading for me. We can go through that whole thing of how people handled what. But I still ultimately chose to go back when the dust settled because I trusted my relationship with Brendan Moore. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
So fast forward to this.
Let me ask you this, Tony. What is it about what Tim said that you disagree with or that you have?
I disagree with Tim about, you know, obviously as far as a teammate, you could ask any teammate what kind of teammate I am.
So before you,
will I bitch here and there? Have I bitched? And guys are probably like, shut the fuck up. 100%. But am I a good teammate? I would say I'm a good teammate any day of the week. I do anything for the guys in the room and have top-notch relationships with tons of them going forward.
So that was the one thing that I was going to bring up is on the show last year, and that's when you reached out on Instagram, and rightfully so, you were pretty pissed off at me, is when I said that your teammates didn't like you, and I was incorrect with that. But I want to, and I apologize for that. But I do want to me, it goes to being a distraction. When you talked about last year in the playoffs, do you remember when you set the gloves down on the ice at center ice and you looked at?
Oh, yeah.
Rangers you were playing. To me, yeah. Brent Moore or your teammates are going, what is he doing? What we don't need, like, yeah. So what is it, just something that triggers in you that you just go off the rails and you're like, I'm going to do something stupid like this?
No, to me, like I said, that was probably the most calm I was in that entire playoff series when I was doing that. To me, I'm just trying, in a little bit, like in that sense, I'm trying to get somebody else to do something stupid. Just like they're trying to get me to do something stupid. I took a stupid penalty in that series. Truba hit me with like a little bit of an elbow to the face, and my first reaction, boom, swing. I'm going to swing the stick quick, and I hit him, and I'm in the box. I'm like, ooh, this could be the series right here. They score in this power play. You know, it was a stupid penalty, which I really have cut those out as far as the longer my careers went on. Earlier in my career, I would take way more of them dumb penalties. But I think one thing people don't understand about me is I'm very, very, very self-aware of everything that I do and that I've done and that happens in the game and off the ice, on the ice, whatever it is. But this summer, I met somebody put out a tweet that Tony D'Angelo was willing to play for the league minimum. Willing to play for the league minimum. I would have played for free. I didn't care what it was. And I remember we had a conversation with one team, not me personally, through my agent. And, they got their top six set. And, you know, they know you're not a seven. Well, I said, right now I'm a zero. I don't have anything. So why wouldn't I'll go there and be the seven? I'll go, you know, whatever it takes for me to get into a camp and be somewhere is what I'll do. And that's fine with me. I said, somebody gets hurt, somebody doesn't play well, there's your chance, hopefully, to come in. And you're looking at the injuries piling up already this year. So to me, that's the big thing. I'm not mad at teams. I understand it. Like, I kind of agree with Tim. There's some things that are distraction for teams where, like, we don't want to, even if they don't know me personally, if you look at it from the outside, like Tim does, we didn't know each other. And I could see somebody saying it, guys, you might be an idiot. I don't need it. But at the same time, I'll say to you guys, and I think you guys would agree with this, for league minimum, $775,000, I would take a shot at myself. Even if I did become a distraction, you go on waivers and you don't cost the team a penny in cap. That was my opinion, and that's where I kind of got lost a little bit.
So there's one of our listeners in the chat line has a question. He says, is there a way, not changing who you are, that you are changing without the volatility, because you don't seem volatile here in talking. You're obviously, you're very well spoken and you're confident. I think you're a little bit more humble in your speaking right now, which you should be. You're in Russia. Sorry for the F bomb on a clean show, but are you changing there? Are you thinking of things? Are you changing who Tony D'Angelo is? What is the process that is going through your brain right now while you're in Russia? You can't feel very good being there, my friend. Maybe grateful, but you can't feel very good being there.
Yeah, to me, it's for the people that know me best, I've been the same way for a long time, just the way I am to you guys right now, especially off the ice. On the ice, you're going to see a different breed. You might say, what a cocky this, and not like you say, narcissist.
I understand I get it.
It's a 180 of what you're going to see on the ice. I don't know why. It's been like that since I was a kid. That's always the way I was. I'd be the nicest guy off the ice, and people want me to stay over their houses, and they have to sleep over with the buddies and stuff. They tell my parents he's so nice, and he's an animal when he goes on the ice. He's a totally different person. That's just the way I get with the sport. I want to be great. I want to do great, and I have very, very high expectations. Don't handle it properly all the time, obviously. But last year, I kind of watched where my career was going, and look in the mirror a little bit. And I'm not just going to keep blaming people, for things that, like, you got to play better too. I said, I was talking to my dad last year. I said, should I be playing, in my opinion, on a team in this league? 1,000,000%. But I started the season like shit. I wasn't pissed at Brendan Moore. I was pissed at the situation that I want to be playing. I want a little more leash after what I did 2 years before, when I played for him. Sure. But I just thought that, and in the playoffs, I thought I played well enough, and I was respected enough by teammates and friends and people across the league that I could have got a league minimum contract. So I'll never back down on saying that. It's very confusing to me how that doesn't happen.
I certainly have had my ups and downs in my career, and certainly the hot mic incident with retiring four weeks to the day was certainly not the way that I wanted to end my career. Jay has had ups and downs in his career and personal life. And I gave you my perception of you at the beginning of the show. And if people think that I'm just going to continue to shit on you during the show, then they're incorrect, because I gave you my perception of what I saw when I shared the ice and so on. And we have all screwed up in our life. And I want you to know, I genuinely, and I know this Hall of Famer agrees, I want to see you back in the NHL. You deserve to. I said that on the tweet. You deserve to be back in the NHL. You're too good not to play in this league. Like, I just saw Chris Weidman at this police breakfast this morning at 7 a.m. And we're talking, and Wide's got a second chance in Montreal at the end of his career. But he didn't put up the points that you did, and similar players, power play guys, smaller guys, and so on. You deserve a second chance in this league, Tony. And I don't know who your agent is, but you got to get him going here, because you should be in the league.
I appreciate it. And listen, as a ref, I would have hated myself too if I was ref against myself. So I don't really blame anybody for that. You got to listen to probably 50 others.
Well, I'm in the same boat as you, Tony, in a lot of different ways. I was canceled from the league, canceled from a network for something that was the, one of the most innocent things that you've ever seen. That was, I got caught in the wrong time at the wrong, you know, with the wrong organization. And reputation maybe preceded me, but there's no way that I should have been canceled for what I said or the story that I told. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I'll stand by that. I will stand by that tooth and nail. What's really important is I have had a lengthy journey, especially as of late, that has totally changed my mentality, my perception, my gratefulness, my humbleness. And after this past weekend, there was a number of people that have been against me that said, you need to be back on television. You need to be back in the league. You need to be back this. These were people that had changed their mind about me, or at least I earned that change. Yeah. And from what you're saying right now, this, you should take this as not a plead to the NHL, but maybe an olive branch to the NHL. That, because trust me, we might have 20 or 30 listeners live, but we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands that listen to it during the week. And you deserve to be in the NHL. I believe everybody deserves a second chance. That's life. That's how life works. And there is someone that's going to give you a chance. So this is your opportunity to say, how much different is Tony D'Angelo going to be? Can he control that aspect of his life that obviously that got you there? It's your drive. It's your competitiveness. I had it. I get it. How do you change that? How do you get to that point?
Yeah, trust me, it's tough. I've done it. I've been the same way since I was 16 years old, 15, well, really seven. But when you talk about playing junior and pro,
is it working for you?
I thought last year I changed it the most. Last year was the best I was, and especially in the situation that came about. And I thought that, you know, it was real. And Brendan Moore is a super respected guy around the league. And I know that he spoke well to other teams about me. And one thing that I told my agent, and I wanted teams to know this, and I'm sure he told him. I know, you know, I trust him my whole life, with my life. And I said, I'll go to any team, play for any amount of money, and if I do anything wrong, I'll terminate my own deal. I don't need a penny from anybody. You know, I said, that's what I'm willing to offer. I said, because I can go on a podcast, I can go in front of them. You know, I always wanted to sit down with a few guys, because this is, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, that to me, this is the best way. You got something to say? I asked you right there. I'm not going to lie to these people. I did the NHL Combine. I talked to 25 teams and had to tell them everything that I did stupid from when I was 15 to the draft year. And I did it, and I think that it helped me out then. Never got a chance to speak with certain teams that we wanted to speak with. Not sure why. But I said to him, I said, I'm telling you right now. I said, I do anything that it's against their team policy, that their coach doesn't like, whatever the case may be, I'll terminate my deal on the spot. I'll go home. You don't owe me anything. I don't want no, you know, grievance, no, nothing. I said, I'll terminate it. That's the only way I could do it. I'm not going to just sit here. Right. Anyone's going to say the right things, right? You could sit there and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'll be a quiet boy. I won't yell at Tim and the rest of the refs on the ice. I'll, you know, but then one game you may snap. And that's what the teams know. Like that's what goes through their head, right?
How do you prevent that?
It's tough. That's what you just got to, you know, it's hard to prevent. It's, especially to me, I've always been tough on refs. I don't know why exactly, because it really doesn't do anything. For you. Just like the easiest person to yell at.
Tony, I threw a water bottle at a ref at a game. You never did.
It's
that.
Almost like the easiest person. They're the one making the call, and you're like, you know, there's, it's not a teammate, it's not a coach. You think you can give them a little more shit than the rest of the people you want to yell at. But no, I mean, I really thought I made strides last year, and that's why I wanted one more. You know. One more shot at it, and I was a seven. I was a seven last year. I sat 51 games. Like I knew what I could be getting into again. And I was like, maybe, you know, you don't want to see a guy get hurt, but that's the way the league goes. Maybe a guy struggles the first five games, coach puts you in teams, whatever the case may be. And, unfortunately didn't get the opportunity, but, you know, it's nice to be playing big minutes again, playing hockey consistently every night in the lineup, not having to, you know, not sitting, and then we'll see where it goes. So
Tell us what it's like over there in Russia for you right now. What team are you playing for, and tell us what your life is like there playing in Russia, and what the game is like.
Yeah, I'm in St. Petersburg, so it's called SKA. There's also the Moscow team, which is CSKA, SEYSKA, whatever. That's a little confusing for people, but the city we're in, St. Petersburg, is an incredible city.
Oh, the most beautiful city in the world.
Yeah, food's great. I was nervous about the food coming over, but the food's been outstanding. It's fresh. The team treats you better than most NHL teams would. It's first class all the way over here. We have food downstairs right now in the hotel. It might be down there until 2 a.m., just full spread, nonstop, coming in and out. So they do things right. The league's an interesting league. There's a ton of skill, ton of talent. The way they play is a little bit different than, honestly, I'm still adjusting to it. I started off red hot point-wise, but I don't even think I was playing that well. Now I think I've been playing way better and haven't had any points. You know, people go crazy with the points. But it's a very skilled league, but then, like, a lot of times they're guessing. It's like a guessing game almost. You come back as a defenseman, you're used to getting hit in the NHL, or at least a guy trying to take the wall away. These guys are, like, giving you a little fake. They want to cut to the net. They're always looking for offense. But then you have some teams that are strictly defense. Like, we play a team last night, it was 0-0 game going into a shootout. And we, in my opinion, we're the much, you know, better team. But they just sit there in the middle. They'll sit there, and you think you got the puck, you're skating around the zones, pass. But at the end of the day, you don't even get a grade A chance out of it. They just huddle up. It's an interesting league. It's so skilled, and then it's so defensive at the same time. It's like, it just depends who you're playing.
Do you have to fight it all over there?
There's not much. There hasn't been one fight, actually, since I've been here in the game. I tried to get in one when we played Minsk. I had hand surgery last offseason, so I haven't even used this thing as far as fighting goes. So we'll see how it feels.
Longest flight?
Oh, that's a good question. We're on a road trip. We're finishing up tomorrow. We're in Kazakhstan right now, but we just 4 hours, which was nothing as far. But next week we go. It's like a 10-hour trip, so we're going to go all the way. I think it's east. I could be wrong. It could be west, but we're going to go 5-hour flight. We're going to stop, refuel, and then we're going to go another like 3.5 or 4 hours. And the time zone is going to be like, I think, 7 or 8 hours ahead of where we are, which is 8 hours ahead of the East Coast time. So the way they do it here is they stay on Moscow time. So we're Moscow time locally. So we stay on Moscow time. This is one thing I was confused about, because I was looking at our schedule and I asked one of the guys on the team. I said, why is lunch, or sorry, breakfast at 12:30 p.m.? He said, well, it's really 9:30 or 8:30. I said, what do you mean it's 9:30 or 8:30? He said, well, Moscow time. And I said, I don't understand. I said, why would I be eating breakfast on Moscow time in Siberia? You know, like, because I have a whole routine of how I go about the game. They're like, well, this is just the way we do it, so that's fine. You know, whatever they do, I'm just going to go along. It's their country and their rules. I'm just trying to fit in. But it's real interesting. It's much different.
How's the language barrier?
But they do it right.
How's the language barrier over there?
We got a few guys in the team. Kuznet. It's tough. It's tough in this. Ton of English speaking in the city, but on the team, it's okay.
Is Kuzi on your team?
Yes, Kuzi's on the team. Kuzi's a great guy. It's nice to have him here. He knows everything, and he can translate everything for me easy. He's been around. He knows all the cities, restaurants, and stuff. So that's a big plus.
Does he still do that ridiculous shootout where he comes in literally 1 mile an hour?
He did it last night. He missed last night, but he's the first shootout he had. He scored.
Is he giving the bird?
He's still giving the bird. The fans love the bird. They got big fat heads on him.
He got kind of exiled from the National Hockey League too for a certain reason. So it's kind of ironic that you guys are on the same team. Does he ever talk about that over there?
No, Kuzi is the most upbeat, positive guy you'll probably meet in your life. I don't think I've heard him say one negative thing since he was in Carolina and through here. He's always smiling. He's laughing. You hear his laugh throughout. I could probably hear, I don't know what room he's in. I'll hear it at some point tonight. But he's loud. He's like, he's just a fun guy to be around. He's kind of an infectious personality as far as that goes.
Tony, was your departure from the Rangers, do you think was a lot of that attributed to the Shesterkin incident?
Georgiev?
Yeah, or Georgiev, I mean, sorry.
Zero.
Really?
Everybody knows that guys have little beefs once in a while. And first of all, it never gets out of the locker room, especially when there's zero fans in the building. But that was such a nothing burger that was their reason. It was coming. I was very, very publicly supporting Trump at that time in New York, and I was getting and this is where I like to clear this up a little bit. I kind of agreed with them. I kind of agreed with John Davidson and the Rangers that they were like, we're in New York City. This is a pretty liberal city. Like, it's a distraction. We could lose season ticket members. And it's a business, right? I represent them. So they were correct in that sense. But where I disagreed was, what if it was the other way around?
Right.
What if I was supporting Biden publicly? Would you say anything to me? And yeah, we all know what the answer to that would be. But I had that, and then I had a little beef with Quinny to start the year. As far as I got sat in a game, the first game of the season. Then I'll never name names, but somebody ratted me out in the organization that I would never expect. They ratted me out to Quinn, said I said something that I never expected to get back to him. Me and him beefed about it. I wound up getting scratched one game. So it started coming from there. So in any incident I think would have happened, I could have got another unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. I think I would have been gone. It was coming. And the way they handled it, I will still, to this day, I just don't understand it. I mean, I was an easily tradable player. They made me into an untradable player by putting me on waivers, by putting out all that info. So I don't quite get what happened there. All you had to do was call my agent and say, hey, we need to move him and give us 3-4 days. You could have, we had a couple of deals done. And it was such a, to me, I'll take the blame for what was going on leading up to the departure, but I will not take any responsibility for how that was handled after. I could easily got traded. I just came off a 53 point year and signed a 2-year deal at almost 10 million. I would have been able to get traded, and it was botched.
How old are you now, Tony?
29.
So you're 29. So you have some very, very good years left in you.
I'd like to think.
Do you, hope. do you think you can still continue to get better and put up those 51 points still?
I honestly, the older I've gotten here, I think one of the downfalls of my career, as far as not as being as good as I should have been, was focusing too much on points. And when I was in the NHL, because I felt that that was the only way a guy like me was gonna make the money you should make and stay in the league as long as you should. 5'10", I'm not a huge guy. I'm not destroying people defensively, but always looking to join the rush. In my opinion, I was always trying to make a perfect pass, outlet pass, because that was a big part of my game. I never, and now I'm starting, like, here you really can't. This league's much different as far as that game goes, so it's not easily to transfer it. But I needed to focus. I honestly always, I should have been a year where I just defense first and just box out and do all the little things the coaches wanted to do and then see where the points take you. I was always thinking that, I was always on a 1 or 2 year deal. I was never fortunate to have that long-term deal where you could really put away, the focus on what you're producing and what you're doing offensively and stuff. So it was always, I gotta keep going here. There's different guys come more draft. Like, I put too much pressure on myself offensively, and now I wind up producing, but I think I could have been a better defender than I wind up being, as far as little things go. And I'd love to be able to try to do that at some point again, but we'll see where it goes.
Do you think, Tony, do you think that's why Brind'Amour scratched you a lot? Did he look at you as a defensive liability?
I don't think a liability, because I was so good defensively for him the first year. It was my best defensive year. And now Slavin, I played with Slavin. It was perfect kind of partner for how that was going to go about. But Roddy is more of, he wants off the glass, he wants rim, he wants flip, when you don't have anything. And I was always looking to make that pass. I want the perfect pass, from my goal line to the red line, and let's go in transition rather than flip it. And I wasn't doing it, probably not enough for his liking what needed to be done. And it wasn't purposely. I wasn't like purposely trying to defy him. That was just the way that I was playing the game, and it didn't work out. Like in the playoffs, I really just bought into to play in that style that he wanted to play. My offense wasn't there as much, but I thought I defended well. I thought I played well. You know, we were out of the zone clean, and it worked out. So that's a regret of mine. I think I put too much pressure on myself to, you got to score, you got to score, you got to score, you got to score. And that was an unfortunate thing, in my opinion.
You guys know better than me, because you played in the league, is how come a team like a Columbus or San Jose or one of those, you know, the bottom third teams in the league, why wouldn't they offer you a one-year minimum contract? Like, I just don't understand that.
Yeah, it's something that I can't answer you really.
Like, what does your agent say to you?
I know my agent. I mean, he's as confused as I was, and he's, you know, Pat is one of the most powerful and most respected agents in the game.
Who's your agent? Pat
Brisson, and you know, super well respected. Like, when he talks, people, you know, they don't think he's lying, and we were confused. That's why it took so long to come over here. Even though I was starting to see the writing on the wall, we were like, something's got to give. Somebody's got to think, all right, let's add depth here. Let's you know, like, one team I always thought about was the Islanders. They had so many injuries and stuff last year. And I was like, you know, why not have an extra guy? Somebody get, and you look at their team, I think they got three injuries already this year. It was, you know, confusing for us. It wasn't costing you anything. If it was costing you $5 million still and you had to, like, move money around, totally understand. But to not cost you anything, and I was willing to play in the minor. I didn't care. I would have played in the minors if I had to, and tried to work my way up. It wasn't like we were saying, hey, he's coming, he's got to play. We wouldn't want guarantees. We didn't want anything. We just wanted an opportunity to show up at a camp. We didn't even get any PTO offers, to be honest with you. To be totally upfront, zero PTO offers.
Time heals all wounds, as JR and I know. Time heals all wounds. So maybe. You know, I know, I think, did you sign a 2-year deal over there?
No, 1 year.
1 year. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that happened this summer. Yeah.
Well, right. If I can give any advice, which I have given you before, because I do like you a lot, Tony. You know, I see so many similarities in you that are in me and were in me. And I understand the mentality, because in order to be great, you have to have a certain characteristic, but you also have to be able to control it. And there's a time and a place for everything. You learn that you're only 29 years old. I think, unfortunately, you're learning the hard way. But what I will say to you is, keep your mouth shut. Do what you do best, and that's play hockey. Be over there. Use that platform to put points on the board to show why you should be here. Make sure your agent, I know Pat. Pat's a great guy. Make sure he stays vigilant. Because both Tim and I believe that second chances are all deserved.
100%.
And we're both hoping that you get that. I will do my best to talk to the people that I do know and say, you know what? This kid deserves to be in the league. He can help you. And it'll be up to you to control and change your personality, your perception, because it's all about a mentality. I have a tattoo on my arm right here that says, trust is gained through reliable behavior over time. And that just doesn't mean in relationships, that means performance, that means how you act, you know, what you say, how you present yourself. Because people will trust you if you continue to have that reliable behavior. And I know you can, and I pray that you do. And I will do what I can do to help you in the league, get back in the league. You deserve to be in the league. I love that you came on here and spoke for yourself. The Trump thing was kind of funny to me, because you can blame everything in the world on Trump. It was awesome. It was great, as we've seen. But I appreciate you talking to Tim. And Tim, I appreciate your belief and saying it right to his face. Yeah. This is how life needs to be. And I think all of us have a little bit different perspective on each other and about different things because we did this. That was really awesome. Yeah.
And I hate, and we all see it, I get messages all the time, keyboard tough guys, keyboard warriors. And I want to apologize to you for last year saying that I would love Blake to punch you in the face, because I reflected on that, and that was being a keyboard warrior. And, you know, it was on our show, and you know, it is good to you're a good man to come on this, considering our beef, and I bet you we become friends now, and that's kind of how life works. Because unfortunately, JR, Tony, if he had to play back in your era, personalities were a bigger thing. And I'm not going to say that you haven't done things wrong, but unfortunately, I was watching JR dance at the Hall of Fame game on Sunday afternoon. He was dancing and the crowd loved it. And I was standing there with Eddie Belfour and I'm videotaping it and I'm roaring, laughing. And I'm like, this is what we're missing in the game. The players are so vanilla now. They're scripted. And you show a little emotion, a little personality. And unfortunately, in the world we're living in now, it's almost, you almost get ostracized because of that. And so as much as JR, I know you want him to get back in the league, but you still can't cheat. You still need to be yourself. You know what I mean? There's only so much you can change.
You do. I totally agree. And there's a way to do it with respect and being humble, but also being stern and with conviction, right? And no, you still have to be competitiveness. You be competitive within the rules of engagement, right? Which we know it's a different game now. I couldn't play in this game. I'm sorry. I feel bad for anybody that has the mentality of a Tony D'Angelo playing in the game right now. And there are a couple guys in there that you brought up, a good guy, Brad Marchand, right? I mean, he does things, and I think he's kind of controlled it, you know, over the last couple of years. He's a different bird. Hey, listen, I see Biz say some of the most outlandish things on television, like really demeaning, unbelievable, disgusting things, and he can be on TNT and work for the National Hockey League and do all this, you know, and I say, you know, something very innocent, and I get banned. So yeah. It's not.
I do like the way the game has trended back a little bit here lately, though.
It's coming.
As far as the physicality, the toughness, the team toughness, I think it's what happens when a team like Florida wins. It goes to the Cup back-to-back. Vegas was a heavier team, but I'd like to see that a lot. Every time I click on my Twitter now in the morning when I wake up, I'm seeing heavyweight battles and guys hitting and scrums and stuff. So it's starting to turn. Hopefully it turns back in the right direction here more and more soon.
Well, listen, only you can change that. Your play there. I appreciate you coming on very much. I'm a supporter and I will root for you.
Appreciate it.
Me too.
And I'm
sure you guys have me on too.
Okay, buddy. Hey, go knock him dead over there, okay? And
we'll do.
Tell Kuzi he's awesome too. All right.
We'll stay in touch. Appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, buddy. Thanks again for your time.
Well, that was amazing. Hey. Great. Like, it's so funny. Like, I knew that I guarantee you, you know, we'll, I know for sure we'll be, I'm not going to carve the guy anymore. Once you get to know somebody,
well, you got to give it, you respect him for coming on and be,
100%.
I mean, that right alone, there's a lot of people who wouldn't do that.
100%. I do. You know, that, like he said, he's got to be nicer to the referees. I know it sounds stupid, but you know, it's that whole perception thing. And when he's always yelling at the refs and so on, it looks like sometimes he's out of control. So I'm rooting for him. I sure hope he gets back, JR, because he's a great player, puts up points that any team could use in the NHL right now. And he does, you know, I shouldn't say he deserves it because I don't know if he's done all the work and so on, but certainly by listening to him, he seems humbled a little bit now that he's playing in Russia, and hopefully he gets that second chance and then see what happens, right?
I think I still don't know what it is. There's something.
Mm-hmm.
There's something. I don't know what it is, because there is a lot of room for Tony D'Angelo in this league.
100%.
A lot. And I will tell you, the team that he left, that is in second to last place in their division, where he lives, could use a guy like this. Big time.
I agree.
I
agree, buddy. That was a great show today.
Awesome.
Really amazing show.
I appreciate everybody here. We had a lot of great comments on here. Obviously, Johnny Duff, you know, our boy Sakura, he's always saying some great things. So appreciate it. We thank Tony D'Angelo for being on from Russia. It was late for him. Way to go, Tim. Way to stand up and be a stand-up person for your beliefs and talking, you know, saying what you felt right to the face of somebody that is, it's very hard to do. I have a lot of respect for that.
That's why we love each other, because we both wear our heart on our sleeve, and sometimes it gets us in trouble, but that's who I am as a person. So.
Hey, listen, all three of us on this show have been unfairly mm-hmm. judged and unfairly treated. Now, some maybe more than others.
Yep.
He's dealing with it right now. Both of us have gotten over it, and our lives have moved on, and we have very happy and successful lives.
And before we leave, I said to you in text message, but I want to tell you on the show and in person that, you know, the weekend in Toronto was phenomenal. I didn't go into that weekend thinking that it was going to be something good for me, because all I was thinking about was I've never been at the Hall of Fame, be there supporting you. But with all the people that I saw there, the Brian Burks and the Timus and all these guys, Coley Campbell, Mike Murphy that worked, Stephen Walkham, guys that were my bosses, seeing them, talking to them, it became therapeutic for me. And it kind of made me say, okay, now it's time to move on. And because people think, oh, geez, it's over three years ago. Well, there's not a day that goes by ever that I don't think about how my career ended, and it probably never will. But I want to thank you. I didn't know that it was going to turn out like that, but it did become a good thing for me, and it helped me kind of maybe close a chapter in my life.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
All you got to do is look at those two beautiful kids when they walk down that staircase.
Exactly.
And then when you get to kiss your beautiful wife, goodnight and good morning, that's all you need, buddy.
That's all that matters.
That's all you need. So I love you, and I thank you for everybody. That's a Thursday Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net. We will be back maybe next Thursday again, maybe Wednesday. Who knows? You never know when we're going to do, because my schedule, I'm going to Mexico, then I'm going to Vegas. We'll try to slip it in during all that fun time. But until then, have a great week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the National Hockey League. Tim Peel, you're the best. I love you.
Buddy, love you too. See you.
Snipes and Stripes is out for the week. Have a great one.